7. Beneath the black sky of Yuuzhan'tar, Nen Yim moved invisibly. The guards at their posts did not blink as she passed. The singing Ulubs stayed silent as she moved lightly across the grounds of the Supreme Overlord's compound. Tamutex glowed with faint luminescence, and ships coming and going were pale viridian or blood-colored mists of light in the sky. Yuuzhan'tar had not always been dark at night. For millennia, it had been the brightest world in the galaxy, never knowing true darkness. Unliving metal had pulsed with unholy energies, hemorrhaging light and heat and noxious fumes to burn the womb of night. Now that unnatural work had been undone, and any brightness came from the stars alone. Tonight not even they troubled the closed eyelids of the gods, for a tarp of cloud had been drawn overhead, blotting even the fierce beauty of the core. So long controlled by machines, the climate of Yuuzhan'tar was also finding its natural state. To Nen Yim, it seemed paradoxically unnatural. She had been born and raised on a world ship, nurtured by an organism so large that she had been like a microbe in its belly, kept warm and secure. The vagaries of weather were only recently known to her, and though her mind rationally recognized that on some long-ago day the Yuuzhan Bong had lived on a world where seasons came and went, where rain fell when it wished or not at all, that this was indeed the natural course of things, her instincts rebelled at the capricious variability of it all. She was a shaper. She preferred shaping to being shaped. And she despised being cold. She was cloaked in a creature of her own modification, a variant of the special Ooglith cloakers that hunters wore. Its billion tiny sensory nodes gazed at the night, heard it, tasted it, and made her a part of it. For the first time in many, many months, she was free of her guards, of her Damutek. She did not fool herself that the freedom was real. If she did not emerge from her sanctum in a few hours, questions would be asked, and then a search would commence. Being invisible would not be enough then, but the illusion was heady. Though she had created the cloak for herself long before, there had never been any reason great enough to risk using it. Now there was a cryptic message, a meeting place, a possibility. She passed from Shimra's fortress compound easily enough. Even a hunter could not have managed that. But the cloak of noon she wore was better than the usual sort. It hid her very thoughts. It disguised her mass as a movement of air. She moved on rougher ground now, down a slope, and then up to the platform where a shrine to Yun Harla, the trickster goddess, overlooked a vast pit that had once been sky-reaching buildings. Dark waters filled it now, and the burring cries of Fili rose in shrill chorus with the bass cooing of large-wattled Nam. Like the limb tree in her Horsium, they were recreated creatures from the homeworld. A single figure awaited her in the shrine beneath the statue of Yun Yuuzhan that had been made from the skulls and long bones of the conquered. It, too, carried a message from Yuuzhan Bong history. Like the creatures of the pool, it proclaimed, "This world is ours now." The one waiting was male, lean, his hair knotted in a patterned scarf. All but three fingers had been cut from each hand. Nen Yim stood watching him for long moments. His eyes held a contained and fierce intelligence. "Priest," she thought, "what could you want with me?" She stood on the Vuasa's spine. Death seemed near. She wasn't sure what she had expected, but it wasn't a priest alone in the dark. She moved out of his sight and removed the cloak, then walked back to the shrine. This time his gaze found her instantly. His body remained still.
"You've come at a strange time to perform your ablutions," the priest said.
"I come when I am called," Nen Yim answered.
"So must we all," the priest answered. "I am Harar."
Nen Yim's spine prickled. She knew that name. "So not just any priest, a very important one."
"I am called Nen Yim, honored one," she replied.
"You are our master. Our ranks are equivalent, so we may dispense with honorifics. My time is short, and I suspect yours is shorter still."
Nen Yim nodded.
There are rumors of you, Shaper, he said. You labor alone under heavy guard in the Supreme Overlord's compound. It is said you are most favored by the gods, and yet so few know you exist at all. Even a whisper is too loud a tone to speak of you in. It is said that some have died who could not keep that whisper in. And yet you know of me. I know when and whom to whisper to, he smiled thinly. You apparently do not. I don't know what you mean. I mean your attempts to contact the Quarialist underground have been clumsy.
I do not even know who or what the Quarialists are, Nenium asserted.
Quarial was the Supreme Overlord before Shimra. Many do not think the gods chose Shimra to take his place. They believe that Shimra dishonorably murdered him. Quarial's old followers are understandably a reticent group, but they still exist.
These are new facts to me, if facts they are. The priest shrugged one shoulder.
It does not matter who you thought you were trying to contact. The point is that if you persist, Shimra will discover you, and I doubt that anyone is so favored by the gods as to survive that.
He clasped his hands behind his back.
What I wish to know is this. Why is Lord Shimra's most favored shaper trying to contact the pitiful remnants of his political enemies?
I know nothing of these politics, Nenyim replied. Shimra is the supreme overlord. I owe allegiance to none other. I desire allegiance to none other.
Harar cocked his head. Come now, why else contact us?
Us?
Harar's fierce grin expanded a bit. Of course. Clumsy, you may have been, but you have succeeded. Shimra has enemies. You have found them. What do you want from us?
I've just told you I seek no enemy of my supreme overlord.
But you move in secret without his knowledge. What do you want?
Again, Nenyim hesitated. There is something I must see, she said. Something I believe to be of vital importance to the Yuuzhan Vong.
How intriguing. Shimra will not let you see it.
I cannot ask him.
More intriguing still. What is this thing?
It is very far from here, Nenyim said. I need help getting there. I need help finding it.
You obfuscate.
I am cautious. You tell me you are the enemy of my lord Shimra. In that case, you are my enemy, ultimately, and I will not betray information into your hands. She paused.
Suppose I merely lied to you to test your loyalty.
Then I cannot trust anything you say, she said.
In that case, our meeting would seem to be over.
He paused again.
But I warn you, you are not likely to get another chance. You say this thing is of vital importance to our future. How important?
It could be our doom.
And yet you fear Shimra will not address it.
Yes.
You think you know better what is best for the Yuuzhan Vong than our supreme overlord.
Nenyim drew her shoulders back. In this case, I do.
Very well. My pretense of disloyalty was meant to draw a confession of your own. I now believe you are loyal to the order of things. I swear by the very gods I am also loyal to Lord Shimra. May they devour me if I lie.
He paused and lowered his voice.
But like you, I do not think his judgment is infallible. Tell me of this thing you must see. Clearly you are willing to risk disgrace and death. This is not the time to balk.
Nenyim clicked the nails of her master's hand together. Like her own master, Mejian Quad, she had deadly weapons concealed in it. If she decided the priest could not be trusted, the Fili would feed well this night. It begins with a commander named Ekumval, she said softly. His eyes widened at the name.
Ah, he said.
You have heard of him.
Indeed, I begin to understand your caution. Please continue.
She told him in brief what she knew, but she left much out. She made no mention of her heresy, but couched her studies of the ship in orthodox terms. As she spoke, Harar folded down into a cross-legged position and listened like a child does to the true speaker in a creche. When she was done, a moment of silence dragged a long tale.
Astonishing,
he said at last. You understand the implications, then?
Some of them. Others will come clear. And perhaps I understand some you do not.
I do not doubt that. The priesthood has its own knowledge, I'm sure.
Harar drew his lips back from his teeth.
How kind of you to think so, he said.
I meant no offense.
Naturally not.
He gestured. Sit with me. She complied, resting on a small polyp.
You swear to me that all you have told me is true.
I swear it, by the gods,
Nen Yim replied. He nodded, then looked at her seriously.
Your master, Mejan Quad, is said to have claimed there were no gods.
She was, for all her virtues, perhaps insane,
Nen Yim pointed out.
Yes, my concern exactly.
You fear for my sanity?
I might, save for one thing. Are you aware of the heresy?
Her blood went cold and heavy.
Heresy?
Among the shamed ones, the obscene belief that the Jedi are somehow the saviors of the shamed.
Yes,
Nen Yim replied, hoping her composure hadn't slipped.
I was, after all, on Yavin 4 when that heresy began.
You were, weren't you? You're a part of the story, in fact, at least in some versions. In a few, you died gloriously. In all, you vanished.
I am not current on the folklore of the shamed ones, I fear,
Nen Yim said stiffly.
No, I doubt that you are. This heresy now has a leader, a prophet. Little is known of him, but he is gaining in power. Not long ago, he made a prophecy of a new world, a home for the shamed ones, a promise of redemption, a living world.
He placed his hands on his knees and leaned forward.
Does this not sound like your Zonama Seacoat?
I know nothing of this prophet or his babblings,
Nen Yim said.
Again, I do not doubt you.
His eyes narrowed.
Do you know where this supposed world is?
No.
So you would have me smuggle you from beneath Shimra's nose, equip you with a ship?
I can supply my own ship,
Nen Yim interrupted. His eyes turned appraising, but he resumed.
Very well. So I need only smuggle you out, outfit you, and help you find this planet, which Shimra claims is destroyed.
That is what I desire, yes.
I cannot do that, he said. I am too highly placed. I will be noticed.
Then I have come in vain,
Nen Yim said, preparing the weapon in her finger.
Perhaps not, the priest said. Perhaps the prophet of whom I spoke could aid you.
Nen Yim relaxed marginally.
You counsel me to collaborate with a heretic.
If you are correct about the threat this planet poses, then a temporary alliance with a heretic could certainly be forgiven. You were right, by the way, not to ask Shimra to help you. Neither Akambal nor any of his crew remains alive. The Supreme Overlord fears this secret. That in itself tells me it is vitally important.
On that we agree,
Nen Yim allowed.
Still, what good could come of contacting this prophet? Even if he was so disposed, how could he help me?
How many shamed ones work within the Supreme Overlord's compound?
I do not know.
How many of them can you name?
She snorted. One? Harar showed his teeth again at the thinly veiled reference.
This heresy is widespread and well organized. It, as much as your Zonama Seacoat, is a threat to the well-being of our people. I feel certain that if this prophet can be convinced you are with his cause, he will find a way to help you. Especially if, as you say, you have a ship.
Yes, she said. It's getting the ship off the surface of Yuuzhan'tar and out of this system that is the problem.
A new suspicion struck her.
You want to use me as bait?
Indeed. But I will not pounce on the prophet when he comes to free you. I will wait until such time as you deem your mission complete. If done in exactly the right way, it might even be possible to convince Lord Shimra that you were a hostage of the Shamed Ones, rather than the instigator of the expedition.
You propose a trade in deceits.
Consider two great threats to the Yuuzhan Vong. Your mysterious planet, my prophet. We can be rid of them both. If all goes well, you and I continue to serve our people. If not, we go to the gods. who know our motives were pure. Can you see a better path?
No, Nenyim said. I cannot, but I know little of this prophet. I have no way of contacting him.
I cannot contact him directly, of course, Harar said. But there are ways of bringing things to his ears. I can arrange this. Are we agreed?
We are, Nenyim said. And though she felt she had sealed her doom, she made the trip back through the darkness with lighter feet, and the air felt almost warm. Harar watched the shaper move out of sight, wondering again how she had managed to meet him without an entourage of guards. Did she have some sort of concealing cloaker, like the cloak of Noon the hunters wore? Probably. She was a master shaper, after all. That didn't matter. What mattered was that he had committed himself to the proposition that she did not represent a trap laid for him by Shimra or someone in the Supreme Overlord's hierarchy who disliked him. Every natural instinct warned him away, but something very deep, perhaps something from the gods themselves, told him he should trust the strange shaper. Rumors of the planet Zonama Seacoat had circulated very quietly among the Quarrealists and some priestly sects for many cycles, and he knew for a fact that Ekambal was not the first Yuuzhan Vong to encounter the planet, nor indeed had Ekambal been sent by Shimra, though the commander himself hadn't known that. If Zonama Seacoat existed, and especially if the Shaper was right about there being some hidden history between it and the Yuuzhan Vong, then it could be very important. In any event, the priesthood was being kept in the dark about something that it clearly should know about. He had lately begun to have his suspicions about Shimra. Not voiced ones, certainly, but suspicions nonetheless. And today, which had already brought so many interesting new thoughts, brought another. Nenyim did not know, perhaps, how much Harar knew about Shapers and their protocols. He was the first to admit that he did not know everything. But one thing was clear. Nenyim operated outside the realm of normal shaping, and the heresy of the Shamed Ones was not the only heresy around. Mejan Quad, Nen Yim's late master, had been a heretic, and had died for it. And here was Nen Yim alive, favored by the Supreme Overlord, and perhaps practicing her own heresy in guarded secrecy. If true, it could mean only one thing. Shimra himself was a heretic, and that, like everything else in this situation, had the potential to change everything. If things went as planned, he might manage to kill three targets with a single thud bug. He rose and smelled the air and felt destiny in his veins.